Well, it's that time again. We are back for our Fitter Body Ladies podcast. So obviously those that have downloaded and listened in the past, please share and like and get your friends listening to our amazing, amazing show, because the more people we can get to, the more ladies we can help. That's what we're all about. So today we are here with Debbie. Debbie is a member at our Fitter Body Ladies in Northampton. And Debbie is going to be here today talking to us about a couple of things that she's involved in. But I will, rather than me go into any detail, we'll start with asking Debbie. Firstly, how long have you been a member at Fitter Body Ladies?
It will be 2 years in August.
2 years in August.
Yeah, so,
okay.
So a year and a half, just over.
Just
maybe.
Over. Yeah. And how did you, what made you initially join Fitter Body Ladies?
Right, I had gotten past 50.
Yeah.
And I was convincing myself that walking the dog was enough.
Yeah.
But I knew that it wasn't really.
Yeah.
And so I thought, right, I do
need
to tone
up. So this is post-pandemic, obviously.
Yes, post-pandemic. Yes. God, you have to think now.
I know.
It messes with your timeline,
doesn't
it, really?
Oh, God, that pandemic.
Yeah, I just knew that I needed to do something, but I kind of didn't. I used to go to a gym, and I know what I'm like, and I know that I can give. You know, when you just think,
yeah, you can give 10%, or you can give,
yeah, exactly. 100%. And I think, well, you know, you might have to do 25 reps of something, and I might do 20, and
yeah.
I think, oh, I'll just move on to the next thing now.
Yep.
So I thought, right, when I saw that you were, I saw you actually on Facebook.
Okay.
And I thought, right, okay, I'm going to fill out the form.
Yeah,
I looked
yeah.
I filled out the form, and then I booked a call, and I booked this call for 3 o'clock. And when 3 o'clock came, I thought, oh my God, my phone was like a hot brick. Oh my God, do I answer it or not? Anyway, I did. I thought, you filled out the form.
Yeah,
now.
You've done it. You might, yeah, exactly.
So, and then, yeah, and then I came for the month, and I just, yeah, I loved it.
Oh, great. No, it's great to have you. And you know, obviously, we see you around at 9:30 you tend to do, don't you? And
I do now, yeah. Well, in the summer months, I can do a 7
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine. But in the winter months, I thought, right, well, I'll
and
just
it
do
still feels
nine.
Like winter now.
Yeah, I know.
It's awful.
I know.
I don't have anything.
Happening.
I don't know what's happening. It doesn't even look like there's any sun.
But the thing is, it's light, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no,
light
that's
in the
it.
Evening. So
we've
I'm,
noticed that in
I'm
the mornings now.
That.
It's starting to get busier
yeah,
at
yeah.
the early sessions
yeah.
because
yeah.
The days are lighter. Well, the mornings are lighter.
Yeah,
and people
which
got,
is so much nicer.
Oh, so much nicer. You can get so much more done as well.
Yeah,
so
I
much
know. I love it.
And so the dog's still walking the dogs.
Oh, still walking the dogs. Yeah, absolutely. Still doing that. But I just feel that, yeah, I think once you get past 50, in my opinion,
yeah.
it gets much harder to... I think foods start making
yeah.
a difference. So, you know, like eating too much bread
yeah.
makes you feel really bloated. That didn't happen in my 30s.
It gives me indigestion these days. Bread,
yeah.
oh my God, if I eat
yeah,
too much bread.
I don't,
like,
yeah, I mean, I love bread, but I don't eat. I try and cut it right back. So I just knew I needed to do something. So, and
there you are now.
Exactly.
Working out hard.
Yeah. Well,
you do.
And the thing is, I can do three times a week, which I absolutely love.
Yep.
And then I do a little session once a week at home.
Yep,
so I do
perfect.
That.
Walk the dogs.
I walk the dogs every day. So I'm doing that as well. So I feel now that I'm actually doing something. And I can tell that I'm doing
things.
Going to the gym and doing whatever.
Well, that's
and actually, people have said, oh, you look really good and whatever. And I think, oh,
that's really
it's all worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely all worth it. Definitely
yeah.
all worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously, the reason we wanted to get you on today, one of our coaches came to us and said, oh, you need to go and talk to Debbie. She's got a very interesting business that she's involved in. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a chat with her. So let's start with, firstly, your career. Where did you start your career? What was your original, when you were, say, early 20s, what did you do initially? What were
okay.
you doing?
So I was hairdressing.
Okay.
I went
in
to
the
college.
Town? Here?
Yes. I went to college, did hair and makeup.
Yep.
So hair and beauty. And then I worked as a hairdresser. I didn't really do the beauty side, actually. Just worked as a hairdresser for
okay.
years and years. Then went mobile.
Okay.
So went mobile.
Was that because of kids and things like that? Or just...
No, it was completely... By accident, actually.
Okay.
I was working in a salon and two of us went on holiday and the boss said, well, you can't both have a holiday at the same time. So Sally said, well, I'll hand my notice in. And I said, well, if you hand your notice in, I'm handing mine in, because if we're going to do this, we're doing it together.
Yeah.
So we did. We handed our notice
okay.
in and the boss said, would you work a week's notice? Which in a hairdresser's,
yeah.
you just that's unheard of.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Because normally if you hand your notice in a hairdresser, they want you out. Have to leave
yeah,
there and then.
Yeah, because they think you can't pitch their clients. Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, they asked me to work a week's notice and I thought, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I can do that. So yeah. I did. And I did tell some of my clients I was leaving. And one of my clients said, could you come to the house and do it? And I thought, well, I suppose I could, yeah. And then her neighbour wanted her hair doing, and then another friend wanted her hair doing, and then, yeah, I just got the little lad over the road. He was a he delivered papers, and I got some cards made back in those days when we had cards.
Yeah, and before the internet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Facebook. Yeah, yeah. So he took cards round and what have you, and that's how it started, really. So I just started like that.
And how long did you do that for?
I did that for a few years until I then had children.
Yeah.
And then I had a little break for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. The girls are quite close to together. So, there's 19 months between them. So I took a little time off.
Yeah.
And then I went back to work. I was ready to go back to work. So, yeah, you know,
that bit of break. And then did you carry on hairdressing after that?
I carried on hairdressing. And mobile hairdressing was amazing because actually by the time the girls went to school, it just meant I could take them to school, pick them up from school. I never missed a school play.
You
know, all of those things.
Schedule.
So that was amazing.
But being self-employed comes with it other problems.
Oh, it does. I mean, it does. You know, you in the school holidays, you've still got to
work.
You're juggling all the time, aren't you, really? And also by then, when the girls were eight and seven, we divorced.
Yeah.
I divorced my husband. And so then I bought him out of the house. And then I thought, right, okay, I'm hairdressing. That's great.
Yeah.
The girls are at school. That's great. But now I need to up the ante. And that's where weddings came into it.
Okay.
So that was, I hated weddings. I hated it. So I had to really put my big girl pants on.
Because, why did you not like them?
Oh, they're so pressured.
Oh, as in,
you're doing a bride
for
her wedding.
Yeah, of course,
and,
of course.
You know, and you can't get it wrong. There's a whole bunch of things. That's how I looked at it then.
Yeah,
I thought, oh my God, I hate weddings. It's so pressured. Oh, but I thought, right, it's a lucrative thing.
Saturday
mornings,
predominantly. Very short window, really.
Yeah. It's a few hours of work and what have you. So anyway, I went to the London School of Fashion, did a big makeup course there. Came back, did lots of other things, practiced on loads of people, just got bums in chairs, practiced hair and makeup and what have you. And then I started doing weddings.
Okay.
And actually, after about 6 months, I started to love doing weddings. But it was
it
just
must be such a lovely feeling,
oh,
though, when that bride is like there and she's like...
I love it now. I mean, I absolutely love it now. And I think I've done it now for about 20 years, I guess. I think everyone's in a good mood, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
It's a wedding morning, so everyone's in a good mood. And also, I've worked with women enough now to know that, you know, emotions are up and down, of course, on that morning. So, you know, there's anxiety, there's
excitement,
there's tears, there's, you know, what am I doing? I am doing the right thing.
Oh, my God, this is really exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm really nervous.
Exactly. There's a bit of everything. And so, but, you know, for me, it's just I love making women feel more confident about themselves. And so... when you've
and
done
as they
a bride,
walk there down that,
yeah, absolutely,
they walk down that aisle,
absolutely, and the bridesmaids, and the bride's mum or whoever's in the party,
of course,
you know, it's just all part of it. And so,
what's been the biggest wedding, like what the most kind of show busy wedding you've done? Have you done anything really? Like,
I've done not necessarily show busy wedding. I mean, there's lots of big weddings that I've done, like lovely event, nice venues, you know, and things like that. Oh my goodness, we've done lots of lovely venues. I mean, there was a time that I would go all over the place.
Yeah.
And now I stick to Northampton. And actually, even in Northampton, I mean, you know... Rushton Hall is lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but then you've got the Dodford House, they're nice. There's lots of...
beautiful venues.
Yeah, there are.
So you did that up until... at the weddings, you're still doing weddings now, and then when did you make this make a change? When did things?
So 9 years ago in July, my sister passed away.
Okay,
and
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean,
break your heart.
Well, it did. Yeah, it really did. So I've got two sisters and a brother. Mm-hmm. Amanda passed away. And at that time, we had her funeral on the Wednesday. Yeah. And we moved house on the Friday. Oh, and my mum had dementia. Oh, so we had a lot going on at that time. And we moved into this house and it needed completely renovating. So we knocked walls down. The girls were both at home then. So they had to go and stay with friends and family and whatever. So basically, we were living in the dining room on a mattress on the floor. And the rest of the house was literally being knocked to bits whatever. Yeah. So anyway, we did that. And about 2 or 3 years later, when everything was back to normal and the girls were back at home and everything was kind of like, okay, I just felt that I had lots of time. I was still running my business, still doing all of that. So still actually busy.
Yeah.
But I just felt I had time. So I needed then something else. But you know when you get to that stage in your life where you think, I want something else, but I don't know what I want. Yeah. And I found something on Facebook. I wasn't really on Facebook back then. I was there, but I wasn't. I was like a Facebook spy.
Yeah, a stalker.
Yeah.
When everybody says, oh, do you know this person? I go, oh, let's have a quick
look. Yeah, I know. And in fact, but I say, yes, I was. I wasn't even actually that interested even then in stalking anybody. But I just from time to time would think, oh, yeah, I'll see what they're doing or whatever. And anyway, Sunday morning and I'm just scrolling through and I thought, oh, OK, there was a little advert that said, would you like to be an independent travel agent? And I thought, yes.
Oh, I like travelling.
Absolutely. Love travelling, love booking my own holidays, love doing all of that. So I thought, right, I'm going to do it. So I spoke to somebody, I liked her, I just had a good feeling about it. It was low setup cost and what have you to do it. So I thought, right, I'm going to do it. And I did that for 6 months and just booking holidays, learning all about holidays. And in between that time, I suddenly found out it was network marketing.
Okay.
And I had no clue what network marketing was. So I think I'd lived in a cupboard.
So educate the ladies who are listening what network marketing is.
So network marketing is a business where basically it's a low set. So basically Tupperware.
Yeah.
The body shop.
That's right. That was.
You know, or these.
And Summers was. Summers was well, was think, for a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it was.
Is it not?
I don't
still?
Think they do parties.
No, I don't know.
I don't know whether they do parties anymore.
No, I'm not sure.
I've had an Anne Summers party.
Yeah. Well, I think loads of people have, haven't they, really?
What was another one that Jamie Oliver?
Yes.
He did. They did a bit of that,
yeah, they
didn't
did.
They?
Yeah. Pampered Chef.
Pampered Chef.
Yeah. I mean, there's been loads and loads. And there are loads.
There's still loads out there.
There are still loads. I mean, actually, if you look at a list of them, there's thousands, a huge amount of them.
A lot of them often geared at women and
they're great for women with children at home. If you want to earn an extra income and you believe in the product. Then I think it could
that's
be an
the
amazing
most important
business.
Thing. That's what I like. This I've never worked in network marketing myself, but again, I think the people I know who have, they always say you've got to believe in the product, otherwise you're never going to be able to do it.
You do. And I think it also depends. I mean, the travel, I loved the travel because I was booking the travel, learning. It was everything that I wanted at that time. But actually, the further on I got, I kind of realised that it was a hustle and it was a hustle. And they were kind of hustling. You know, they were saying, oh, you know, you need to message this many people. And that just didn't resonate with me. I just didn't. But what I did love, I loved the women that I had some men in my team as well, but I loved the team that I'd built. I loved the fact that I was helping them because some of the women were like, oh, you know, I'd love to do that, but I just don't think I can. I haven't got the confidence to do it. And I said to a few of them, listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I came into a business where it was an online business, which I was really excited about when I first started. And then the first thing I got asked to do was copy and paste something and put it into my notes. And I thought, I don't know how to copy and paste.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, oh, my God, I've got this online business. And how do I even copy and paste? Yeah. So I had to ask my daughters how to do that.
Okay.
So that was my first
learning. So what year was that then? So that's what? 20
That was 5 years ago.
Oh, okay, so not that
even not that long ago.
2019-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, right, okay.
Yeah.
So but you started originally with the travel stuff about 9 years ago, did you say?
No. That was 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, okay.
So started the travel business, did travel for 6 months.
Yeah.
Then started to build a team.
Yeah.
Realised that I actually really liked helping the
building
women.
Building the team.
So I did a coaching course.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
So
were you specifically, when you started that coaching course, thinking, I'm going to coach business people or I'm going to coach a team? Was there a specific kind
There was absolutely no thought. Itinerary in okay. it whatsoever. Okay. Just the fact that at that moment, I was helping women to get from one place to another. And actually, I was really interested in just learning some more tools.
Okay.
I just wanted to learn a better way of doing it. Because I could do it,
yeah,
but
I just
thought, well, I just want to learn a little bit more about doing it. At that point, there was no, oh, I think I'm going to be a coach or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
There was just, right, let's do this course.
Yeah.
And it was a great course, the first one I did, but it wasn't very hands-on. It was very, right, I'm going to teach you this.
Yeah.
And that was that. And so that was okay. But the second one was very much more hands-on. So it was like being coached and coaching.
Yeah.
So we were doing the practical stuff.
Yes.
And that was amazing.
That was the stuff you wanted to do.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
So that was really good.
And who was that with?
So the first one was with Melanie Ann Layer.
Okay.
So she's a Canadian lady and she's an amazing coach and I still do stuff with her.
Okay.
She is very inspirational. And the second one was with Claire McPherson.
Okay.
Who is in Manchester.
Okay.
And it was, but that was lovely because it was so hands-on.
Oh,
it was very real. Because
yeah, so deep.
It was a Zoom call every single week.
Brilliant.
You know,
interactive.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
and I think
want.
For me, I guess everybody learns in a different way, don't they?
Yeah, I think though with coaching, it's almost like, yeah, you almost need that. You've got to have that
you
interaction
have to do it.
Because you've got to experience. You've got to experience the coaching experience effectively.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
you know,
do.
It's like when you do online. People can go and do an online coaching course to be a personal trainer.
Yeah, yeah.
But until you start actually.
Yeah.
Coaching people.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to connect with the person.
Yeah.
The theory's all there in the background, whatever. But actually, you've got to be doing it to actually understand where your strengths lie, how you can best deal with the client. And again, with your client, you've got to understand, you've just got to basically experience it so that you know what they're going to be experiencing, really.
Yeah, well, because everybody's different.
Totally.
And everybody comes with a different problem, if that's what you want to call it. You know, that there's something that they want in life that they want to get to or whatever, or they feel stuck or whatever. So, yeah, everyone has a different problem that they need solving.
Yeah.
So, and you've got to get to the bottom of that. So,
yeah, and that's why we call our staff coaches. They're not trainers, they're coaches, because they're there to coach you from one point to another.
Yeah.
And your journey is going to be very different
to
the next person.
Yeah.
If you're training somebody, you're just giving everybody the same piece of...
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody's journey is different.
Yeah,
different.
It's hugely different. You know, when I go to the gym, everybody's different there.
Everybody's
We're
different.
All there.
Yeah, for the same reason.
For the same reason, which is great.
Yeah.
And the support is all there, but everybody wants something different.
That's
you
right.
know, some women want to be really strong and some
That's
women
right.
just want to tone. And
some people want to lose weight. Some
yeah,
people
absolutely.
Don't want to lose weight.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
people want
yeah.
to just stay fitter.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so that was 5 years ago.
Yes, so that was 5 years ago. So I did the coaching courses and I really enjoyed those, and that allowed me to help
women.
The women in the team. And then actually the travel, I just was finding that I didn't have time for the travel anymore, because then I'd started to do some coaching and I was still doing my hairdressing and doing all of that. So I thought, I can't do everything. And so... I guess about a year ago, I decided that the travel was not really going to work for me.
Okay.
Well, in fact, perhaps not even a year ago. I just thought, right, okay, because I'd kind of been doing all this work and working with different people and finding out where my niche was and who I wanted to work with.
And
because at first I said, oh, you know, when I do the coaching, I'm not really going to work with men.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some men that wanted coaching, and I thought, well, do you know what? I may as well.
Yeah.
I may as well see whether I like this or not, or what kind of problems they've
have,
got and
yeah.
everything. So I did that, and I thought, okay, this is all right. I quite like this as
yeah.
well. So I guess it was just I was on a bit of a learning curve, really, mm-hmm. as to where I think I fit with okay. everybody and what I really enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
And also my own experiences, what I felt I could help people with.
Yeah. So because, what did you find? What did you...
Well, a friend who is a client, but a friend actually said to me a few months ago, actually, can you help me with grief? Because his partner had passed away.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm not really a grief coach, actually. Yeah. And he said, well, I've been given a grief counsellor.
Yeah.
So I said, right, okay. And he said, but she's never experienced grief. And I said, oh, okay. And so he said, so she doesn't resonate with me. He said, I've had a session with her and I just didn't, there was
connect.
Nothing there.
Yeah, connection.
So I did a few sessions with him and we kind of did some stuff and, you know, actually we went for a walk first and so that he could just offload yeah. stuff.
Yeah.
And we did a few little sessions and stuff and that did move him on. It just allowed him actually to feel that it was okay to cry. It was okay to just take some time and sit and think about her and actually talk about her as well, because he kind of thought, oh, I don't think people really
want to hear it.
And I said, yeah, I think they do. I think, you know, that's okay. And
that's interesting to know, isn't it? Like,
yeah, so I just felt that was because I've been through it, I guess, and he knew that I'd been through it. But I wouldn't say that that's my
forte. That's, no,
but I have been through it, and I think if anybody had said to me now, mm-hmm. Because he said, you know, the things that you did and what we did and what you got me to do, like journaling and things like that, you know, he said actually was really helpful. So, and I just thought, okay, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Not something that I would have done, kind of put my hand up for. But then I think anything that you've been through, because now it's like I've been working with somebody very recently who's been going through a divorce and she just said, I just needed to have somebody to talk to about the divorce I'm going through because it's so awful.
Oh, okay.
And I said, yeah, I get that. I've been there. So,
okay. Yeah. So do you think that's what makes a good coach? Someone, someone who can resonate with the experience that the client is going through. So again, like we would say that for us as coaches, you know, if we've got a journey, our own journey in weight loss or fitness or whatever, it resonates much more with somebody who is the same, of a similar age, similar demographic, as opposed to me having, say, a 25-year-old lad who has got no idea what it feels like to need to wear a tenor lady to jump around or has given birth or wants to sit and eat ice cream because they're on their period or whatever. So that's not to say they can't do that.
I don't think they can't do it.
No.
But I think it helps.
Yeah.
I think it helps. It's like I was saying to somebody the other week, I have never had a migraine.
No, I haven't.
So I can't fully resonate with anyone having a migraine because I haven't. I have got that empathy for anybody. So I think to myself, I hate a headache.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can imagine a migraine would be awful.
Awful. You know?
You can do that. But I think there are some things. I think with things like feelings. So probably with grief, if you've never been through grief, I think then it's very difficult to really resonate properly with how someone feels.
God, I agree.
Or maybe even to ask them about their feelings. So I think from that perspective
that helps you or with your clients if the coach has got some experience in that particular scenario. Not to say that they couldn't help you through a scenario they've not been through, but they're not going to be able to fully understand those situations.
Yeah.
So your current clients now, do they predominantly fall in a particular field? Like, do you predominantly coach on a work basis or do you coach more life experience stuff? Like just understanding what you're doing now, like what sort of...
Yeah, I think for me now, I resonate with women I guess over 40. I have clients that are over 40, yes, really, okay, that actually just feel a bit lost in life. You know, when you just hit that age and perhaps some of them have got children that have left home or leaving home. Yeah. And, you know,
I was thinking that the other day. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm not actually that far off.
Yeah.
Having no children at home. Exactly. I mean, I'm looking forward to the kind of money side of it. Hopefully I'll have a bit more money because I'm not dealing with them. Yeah, but again, I was thinking, I was thinking, oh, actually, I'm going to have an empty house. Mm.
Yeah.
And quite a big empty house in which I've already got, like, because my husband lives over with our son in Ireland. There's just me and George rattling around this big house, and we don't sit in about four of them. We don't even use four of the rooms that are in the house. Just empty. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe I'm going to become really cool and I'm going to have parties and like all my own friends back round. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a weird feeling.
I know. And some women actually make that transition, and it's
easy.
Great.
Easy for them.
You know, they have lots going on and they find other things to do, and that's great. And other women find it really difficult. Yeah. You know, they go through this kind of grieving process. I don't know what to do anymore. Yeah. You know, I'm still cooking these big dinners and I'm still, you know, and so I think everybody needs a purpose in life. And so I think it's finding, you know,
what your purpose
when
is.
You're a mum, it's very, your purpose are your children. You've got to keep them. So
bizarrely, I'll talk about it very straight, a bit of a strange sound. So my grandmother is she'll be 99 this year.
Wow.
And my uncle is 73, 74, something like that. They have never lived apart.
Oh, right.
Never.
Wow.
And I think that what keeps her alive,
yes,
is the purpose,
yes,
of being,
yeah,
his mum.
Yeah.
She still cooks a Sunday dinner for him
every
week.
My goodness, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, we think it's a bit but strange. But again, you know, he's never had a partner and a job. They have just lived together. Yeah. She worked up until she was in her 60s. But after that, once my granddad had passed away, they literally have just lived together.
Right.
And I believe that they keep each other alive.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Each one of them has a purpose. His purpose is to keep her alive and vice versa.
Yeah.
She stays alive because
he
needs her to be alive.
Yeah. And I think that's... I think that's true. I think if you don't have a purpose, and that could be anything. That could be your job. That can be...
Parent.
You know, whatever it is.
Carer.
But I think if you don't have that, then you kind of bumbling, aren't you? You kind of then start to bumble through life, and you know, it gets you down. Yeah. And I think everybody needs a purpose. And the other thing, I kind of think also, people need values. You know, you need, because your values are what you believe in. Yeah, well, it is what you believe in, and then I think what you make better decisions in life, because it's like, you know. I mean, 5 years ago, if somebody had said to me, "Oh, Debbie, you know, what are your values in life?" I probably would have just guessed them.
Yeah.
I would. I would have just said, "Oh, you know, family, love, you know, honesty." You know, I would have just thought, "Oh, let's pluck some stuff out." Health is up there for me. Yeah.
We did a values we had a meeting with all of our franchisees, and we did a task where everybody had to put their values down.
Mm.
And again, most people put things like health and family up the top, and it wasn't about money or
success. But I would never have really said health, and yet actually subconsciously, health has always been a big thing for me, and yet I wouldn't have ever really said that. It's weird, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So health was definitely up there.
My husband's is health because he had poor health.
Right, yeah.
So he always, that's his number one.
Yeah.
His health is his most important value.
Well, and I think, actually, that if you haven't got your health, then actually...
Oh my God, you can't do anything.
You can't, really. You are scuppered, aren't you?
You are scuppered.
So I just think health, for me, is really up there.
And I think not enough people put value on their health.
Yeah.
Or... the things that they're doing that are detrimental to their health. Or yeah. not maybe that's not the wrong, detrimental is the wrong, or not supporting what could be a more, a healthier
yeah. And I think well-being when you,
or lifestyle.
Yes. And when you start talking to people about their health,
yeah.
it's like I'm always surprised at how many people don't know about things like, I don't know, what is a whole food? What is yeah. a processed food? What is a, you know, I have people saying, oh, yeah, well, this is what we're going to have. And that's really healthy. We're going to have muesli. That's
yeah.
so healthy. You know, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And I think, no, it isn't.
No.
And so.
But again, that's down to advertising.
Yes,
it advertising is. Yeah. And miseducation.
Yeah, it is.
And my concern is more for the generation below us who really, they should be educated more on,
yeah.
or even lower than that. At school, they should be doing things like,
yeah.
your health is important and these are good, these are nutritious foods as opposed to good and bad foods. These are nutritious foods. If you want to eat a packet of crisps, do that once a week. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
and it's too easy and too... When we went to America, it was honestly, you can understand why they're in the state yeah. that they're in, because yeah. on every corner there is a fast food and it's super easy to get whatever you want really quickly. You're not waiting for anything. You are literally,
well,
you know, if you put effort into, you're looking after your health, it takes a bit of time and
yeah.
effort.
Yeah, it does.
If you just want to eat, you can get
exactly
cheap. Crap.
Exactly. And but I think the thing is, if you don't know what you're eating, there is a problem, isn't
That's
there?
Right.
If you're not educated, then yeah. there is a problem.
Yeah.
So a year ago, I started doing this. It was a tool to add to my coaching. So I started doing belief coding.
Yeah. Which is what?
Well, belief coding taps into your subconscious. So
okay.
for an example, I know two people right now that need to lose a lot of weight. Okay.
Yeah.
So they've been to the doctors. They need to lose a lot of weight. Now, the doctor has said to them, yeah, you need to lose 7 stone. Off you go. Lose that, because otherwise you can't have the operation.
Yeah.
You can't have the knee operation.
Yeah.
You can't have the hip operation, yeah. whatever. So off they go. No real help.
No.
But they know they've got to lose 7 stone. Whereas
Which
actually,
feels like this.
Well, of course it is.
Mountain,
it's a mountain.
Like,
of course it is.
How do I get that? How do I do
yeah,
that?
Yeah. It is. And so you go away, you're already probably not very educated. You've
yeah.
got to the stage where you've got to lose
There's probably
7 stone.
Else going on.
Exactly.
Up
so
here.
That's what belief coding does. So
okay.
So we tap into the subconscious. I
yeah.
mean, there's a process. It's about,
of course.
It takes about 2 hours to do this. But you go into the subconscious. And so for an example, I did this on somebody quite a while ago. And they're... It went back to a memory from childhood where
okay.
they had a very traumatic thing that
happened to them. Yeah.
And basically her brain had told her that if she was bigger, that wouldn't have happened. And so she'd grown up subconsciously thinking, I've got to be bigger. I've got to be bigger.
Okay.
And so she got to that stage where she'd tried all sorts of diets, couldn't, just gave up. And almost when she started to lose a little bit of weight, it was that subconscious coming in saying, you've got to be bigger.
Oh, okay.
And so so that was it. So when we kind of went in, you kind of reprogram the brain
the
and what have you, so that actually they have new beliefs. They make that memory into what was a bad memory. They make that as much as they can into a positive memory. And then hopefully, you know, and actually she is on the right road
is
now.
She? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it can be as, because I did somebody else a little while ago, and it's so clever how this works, because all they needed.
You can do lots of other things.
Oh,
like
you can
that.
Do so many things. It's you can stop smoking through it. You can, like, if you're scared of flying, if you're. I mean, some people have even said, I mean, things like fibromyalgia
yeah.
and eczema and different things, because they're stresses
so
in the body
yeah,
sometimes,
that's right,
aren't
that's
they?
Right.
That, you know, our body holds
yeah,
on to things and then
time,
it comes out
that's
in
right,
something,
into
else.
Something else.
So it's getting to the, it's like you can smoke, but you're not dealing with the smoking. You're dealing with the why are you smoking?
Yeah.
What does it do for you?
Yeah.
Why are you smoking? Well,
yeah.
it, you know, it kind of curbs
Relax
my anxiety.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, all of those.
So
why are you anxious? And what's caused
yeah,
that
yeah.
anxiety
yeah.
that
yeah.
then...
Yeah, so you're going down that avenue. And so that's basically what it does. And it just kind of rewires the brain. And just things like going back to grief again.
Yeah.
You know, somebody I did very recently was really triggered every time... you know, his sister passed away, and he was like, this was a long, long time ago, but he has triggers.
Yeah.
And so all he needed, when I say all he needed to do, you know, there's a process, but he had a conversation with her. He had the last conversation with her that he just didn't have. And he said to me, wow, that was the most powerful thing I think I've ever done. That was amazing. And then I had a testimonial from him very recently to say something on the telly happened that would have triggered me, that would have been an absolute trigger. And did it upset me? Yes, it did. But it didn't send me into a depression, didn't send me into that two weeks of not wanting to talk to anybody or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, and I've gone through a journey with this process, because when I first joined it, I thought, oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah. This is really going to help get to the root problem of certain things. And then I thought, I don't know, do I believe it? Oh my God, no, I don't.
So you had to go through your own journey.
Yeah. Because we have to have, doing the belief coding, I've had to have 10 sessions on me. I had to give 10 sessions in the community, and then I had to give so many sessions outside of the community. And then I'm just going to put in for my accreditation anytime now. So I've kind of done all of that. Yeah.
That's amazing stuff.
Yeah. And now,
I love all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I do as well. And now I am getting some results.
Like, I know how powerful people's mental health can be in
massively
in both a positive and a negative way,
massively.
And so for me, anything that can help people with their, you know, mental health and it's not even like mental health problems, but the things that trigger them into things like depression or overeating or whatever it is that is their kind of go to when they, you know, they're struggling. Yeah. They're struggling. And so for me, I really find all of that stuff super, super important.
And it can be really easy things actually that can help somebody, can't it? Really? You know, really easy things. I've got somebody at the moment who is just, you know, we've just started doing some work together, and, you know, already she's saying to me, oh my God, I feel and all she's doing this week her homework is writing gratitudes. So three gratitudes every single day, and it will get bigger. We'll do more.
Yeah.
But three gratitudes every single morning, for three for herself, for how she feels about herself, three for her immediate surroundings, and three for like the world, I guess. So, you know, it could be, you know, I'm really grateful I can travel. I'm really grateful I can, you know, those kinds of things. So she's just
I'm grateful I'm well, I'm grateful I can see, I can hear, all of those.
And
that's brilliant.
You know, I just think just small things like that can really help, can't they?
Yeah. So if you were going to give the ladies who are listening something really quick that they could take away, if they're feeling, you know, a little bit anxious about something or a little bit overwhelmed with something, so something that they could do, just a little takeaway from this that they could perhaps do to try and help themselves to...
I think first of all, stopping. You know, just stop sometimes. I think we're really busy, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're busy, busy, busy. I think just to stop, breathe. I really think breathing helps, like breathing in, just calming down, just slowing down everything. I think journaling.
Are you a big journaler?
I like journaling, yeah. I think it really helps people. And
do you know, it's become such a thing. I just don't ever find the bleeding time.
Well, because the problem is, if you journal properly, everything just starts to pour out, doesn't it, really? So I think for some people, when you're going through any process...
iPhone now have one on their phone, don't they?
Yeah.
It just pops up every morning and says journal.
Yeah. I think there's something about writing.
Yeah, I'd agree.
For me, I think there's something about putting pen to paper. I'm a bit of a dinosaur as well, but I just think that, you know, there is something about writing that you just are getting it out and onto the page.
And it's also, a bit like writing a letter. If you can't say to
100%,
people what you want to say.
Yeah. And I think sometimes even journaling about, you know, actually, I'm not feeling so good now. You know, why? How do I feel right now? Why am I feeling like this?
Okay.
And really kind of asking yourself some questions, because I think we don't ask ourselves questions very often. We just keep going.
Because people don't really want to hear the truth.
No, of course they don't. Because it's hard to get to the bottom of something. Yeah. But I think if you just... Do you know, I say to everybody when I'm doing these things, what makes you happy? That's just one question I ask everybody. Okay. What makes you happy? It's the first bit of homework that anyone has to do, really. What makes you happy? Yeah. Journal on that. And the amount of people that actually don't even know what makes them happy. They think they do, or they'll say, oh, you know, I love going to work. And I say, well, that is that really your happy place? You know, is it? Because if it is, then that's great. But, you know, my happy place is on the beach.
It's or the
sunshine. Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere where it's warm.
My happy place is sitting on the sofa watching a nice film with my, you know,
my
with the dogs and the... You know, your partner and whoever.
My kids
the,
and stuff, yeah.
Eating Sunday dinner with the family.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it doesn't have to... It's just silly things, isn't it, really, that can... That
so
really
would you...
You happy.
So if, you, if somebody's journaling then, so they should just literally sit down and just start writing. Whatever's almost like...
I think it's almost like saying, well, you can have journaling prompts. So so that's what I do with people.
Like,
depending on where they're at or what they're doing, there could be a journaling prompt. So for an example, what does make you happy? But I think sometimes, you know, when you are feeling that, oh my God, I'm feeling really anxious or I'm feeling overwhelmed, I've got so much to do, then you know what? Have a brain dump. You know, just literally write things down. Say to yourself, right, how am I feeling right now?
Okay.
You know, how am I feeling right now? Well, I'm feeling stressed. Why am I feeling stressed? Well, because everything's left to me. Everything's left to me. I have to do everything. And then, well, why? Why does everything get left to you? Well, because I'm in most of the time, because I'm the one that's in most of the time. And then it, it can really get down to silly things.
As you're talking there, right, I do that to myself in the car.
Yeah.
Like if I'm stressed, I will be in the car going, oh my God, I'll have a full on conversation with myself.
Yeah, I do.
And by the time I've got to the next place, I'm almost like, oh, well, actually, it's all right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being ridiculous. You know, and, like,
and
it's
so,
almost just
and
like...
that can be your way of journaling.
Yeah.
I just think for some people, it's quite interesting if you keep... Some people need to journal and then literally burn it.
Oh, because it's so bad.
Yeah. Because they've got so much stuff going on that they just need to just, I need to get that out. And then, you know, and I had somebody that, that looked back on some of her journaling and she said, I don't know what to do with this. If anyone found it.
Oh my God, you'd be in
What would, and I said, well, what are you going to do with it? I said, you can keep it and then look at it. And she said, no, I don't think I am. She said, I'm going to shred it.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah,
and she had a little shredding party.
Like, it's almost like you've shredded away those thoughts.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's one thing that they could do. Okay, cool. What advice would you give to women to try and help them with their boosting their own like confidence? What would be a little bit of, like, if you're in a coaching session, somebody's feeling a little bit unconfident, would there be something that you would say to that, a takeaway that they could kind of do to try and boost their confidence?
Yes. Confidence is a funny one, isn't it, really? Because I always think confidence is one of those things that it's a bit like a cardigan.
Yes, I was about to say. It can be
You don't need it all the time, but you do need
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And you might have something at work that you've got to do that you're going to need the confidence for. Or for some women, it could be coming to the gym for the first time.
Totally.
Walking in and thinking, oh, I don't even know anybody.
Yeah,
or I haven't
that's
been
right.
to the gym for years.
The
or
first,
something like that. That first time. So I think sometimes you do need confidence, and I just think
those big girl pants,
you have got to put them on. But for me, I think confidence, it's like I give makeup lessons to lots of women.
Okay.
Actually, my two ages are 16-year-olds.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's a life lesson. And
40
and 40 40 pluses. Yeah.
Because it changes. You change facially.
Yes. And I think what happens is women in their 40s have done the same thing for years since they were 16. Yeah. And so they come in and they say, well, you know, this is... And I say, right, let's have a look at your kit, your makeup stuff. And they're like, oh, do we have to... Well, this is like... This is 12 years old.
Yeah.
And, this is, and I say, it doesn't matter. I'm not judging you on any of that. Let's just see what you've got. Let's just see what you need. Because you don't need a lot. You just need a few things.
That's right.
That are going to make you feel confident when you leave
sometimes
the house.
That makeup is the cardigan that you need.
And you absolutely
so refreshing that cardigan.
Mm. Yeah.
Finding that new confidence. It might be, you know, a little bit more different makeup, a different outfit.
It, do you know, it could be. It could be the outfit that you wear. I mean, if you went out and you had like big stains all down you, you wouldn't feel very confident going out like that, would you really?
No.
But if you're looking okay and you go out and you, you know, it doesn't have to be anything posh, but you know, you feel okay. I think also having a chat with yourself in the mirror is a good one, because I think I've... I've got a friend of mine doing this at the moment, and it is really helping her. She's got quite sassy.
Okay.
And she looks at herself every morning, because I said to her, right, I want you to start saying affirmations. Yeah. I'd like you to start doing this every single day. And it's like going to the gym. Yeah. If you don't ever do it and you only do it every now and again, it's not really going to work.
No, but you've got to do it every day.
But you've got to do it consistently.
That's what we advise when they come in the 28th day. Write down your reasons why.
Yeah.
Because the more times, and the more times you can read the reasons why, the more likely you are to stick at something.
Yeah, you are. Absolutely. And
so,
I think...
So what have you got to say then?
So she is saying in the mirror to herself, every single morning, she is saying... You know, just anything. So she's saying, you are beautiful. You can do this. You are going to smash the day. You're going to have a mat. She just says all of these positive things to herself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And she said, at first, I just thought,
I'm crackers.
I feel like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you will for a while. And so she's got these post-it notes by her kettle, by the wardrobe.
Yeah.
Little places, and she says affirmations and things as well. Like,
I
think
that's a really good strategy. Whether it's losing weight, feeling a bit more comfortable, whatever it is
that you're feeling with
the reasons.
Yeah, she had a big thing about, you know, I just don't feel confident with how I look. So she's had a makeup lesson now. She feels amazing.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to do a lot, but she just does a few things. And she said, and just even buying new things.
Yes.
She just went out and bought a new lipstick and a couple of other things. And she said, you know what? It's really made a difference. So I don't think it has to be massively big things. I think having a chat with yourself in the mirror and telling yourself that you are absolutely capable of smashing the day.
And
worth it. You know, you are enough.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things, whatever affirmations you want to say, whatever you're going through, it could be money blocks, could be, you know.
Any of those sorts of things.
Yeah, could be weight, like you say. It could be anything, really. So I think affirmations are a good one.
Brilliant. So, coaching aside, what was the... Then you moved into a different... business.
Yes, I did.
And again.
So, I know. Well, okay. So about 6 or 7 months ago, in the travel business, I met somebody. She had an amazing business in travel. And then she left and she went over to another business. And I kind of watched her. She lives in Northampton. So I kind of watched her. She was a single mum of two boys. And the business that she was in, network marketing, crashed. So just went under. And she had a massive team and she thought, oh, okay. And she felt responsible, actually.
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't her fault, but she had a big team. She felt responsible. So anyway, the next thing I know, she's setting up a network marketing business of her own.
Awesome.
And I thought, oh, this is a massive thing to do.
Yeah.
So she got together with another lady who I didn't know back then, but I have met now, Helen. So Sarah and Helen have set up a business called Acora.
Okay.
Now, that was kind of, I was watching her thinking, oh, that's a big thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I applaud her, all the rest of it. But then when she bought out her first product, it was a collagen. And I thought, oh, it was a blended collagen as well, which is, so it's a bovine collagen and a marine collagen combined.
Okay.
Which I had not seen.
No.
So I thought, I've taken collagen before in the past, but it was a powdered collagen and I...
Didn't like it.
Well, it was all right. It was okay. And I know this is going to sound pathetic, but you know when you've got to measure the water out, shake it all up so it didn't have any lumps in it and whatever, you know, and I just thought, just...
So I bet it would lumpy would be horrible. Or...
Yeah, I mean, it is if you don't shake it properly. It was just rank. So I thought, anyway, so I took that for a little while and then I stopped. And then obviously I was watching Sarah set up this business and what have you. A friend of mine was directly involved in this business and I watched Anne for a while and her hair was growing and she just looked amazing. And I just messaged her one day and said, do you know, we need a catch up.
Yeah, you look amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And she said, oh yeah, we do. Let's get on a Zoom. So we got on a Zoom call and I said to her, look at you, look at your hair. What's going on? Is this the collagen? So she said, well, I think it is. And all of that was great, but she said to me then, she said, well, it's helping me sleep. I'm interested now because I, through the menopause, have not been sleeping very well at all. So like hot sweats and just not sleeping. I think I've got into that pattern of not sleeping. So I said, right, okay, I'm interested. So
give she me some.
Said, yeah, yeah. So she said, okay, well, you can join the business and you'll get it for cheaper.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I can't do another business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just haven't got it in me. So I said to her, I just am going to be really honest. I don't think I've got it in me to do another business. And she said, you don't have to do anything. Just join the business, order your own collagen, you'll get it for cheaper. So I said, oh, okay, I'll do it. So I did. And I started to buy it, started to use it.
Yeah.
They started to bring in a few other products as well. So now they've brought in another product. I'm going to try that. That's for brain fog.
Oh.
I'm very interested in that one. Yeah. So I am going to start taking that.
I'm interested in skin and hair.
Yeah. Well, skin and hair. I mean, Anne's hair had grown like there's no tomorrow. So her hairdresser had started to use it and sell it. Yeah. So I started and it helped my sleep. It really helped my sleep, which I was just... My nails haven't stopped growing. I can't have long nails for work, so I just literally cut them off all the time. But my nails are growing. What it has really helped with is my gym recovery time. So all in all, I mean, it helps your gut. So therefore, that's your immune system. Really interestingly, I've been talking to somebody very recently who she is part of the business because she started to take the collagen because she had adult acne. And so she'd been given all sorts of things that wasn't working. So she started to take the collagen and her skin started to clear up. And she took it to her doctor.
Can you give it to younger teenagers then?
I don't see why not. Yeah. I mean, I would take the ingredients and perhaps show them to a doctor or something and just ask.
Yeah.
I personally don't see that there would be any reason that you couldn't.
No.
But I think if you were worried, but then I would just, no, I mean, the ingredients would be on there. You could actually say to a GP, is that okay to take?
Well, he'd be 18, so he's an adult anyway. It's fine.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be. I might recommend that. I might just get some.
Well, she started to take the collagen and she was saying it really started to work. Her skin was so much better. So she took it to the doctors and said, look, you know, this is what I'm taking. And he was actually really interested because he said it's because it's helping your gut and in turn it's helping your skin. And she'd made a few tweaks along the way.
Gut health is just so ignored.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly.
It is. I mean, I'm always listening to Tim Spector and Michael Mosley.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy? The guy, Brecker, Gary Brecker. Have you heard him?
Yeah.
He's really interesting as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many people out there now because I think it is becoming more...
Well, gut health is just... They've now realised how impactful it is on so many things.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually, I know I put a post on yesterday because I read an article at the weekend. And it was really funny, actually, because I read an article at the weekend and it was saying, actually, collagen is really good for your vagina as well.
You like a good vagina too.
Absolutely. So I just thought, wow. So I read into this.
What does it do?
Well, it can help with when you're going through the menopause, it can help with the dryness. It can help with. Yeah, it just apparently it gives you a healthy vagina.
Well, let's go for it. Let's get a healthy vagina crew going on. There we go. Well,
so who would have known? But it helps. I mean, joints, I think, you know, who doesn't want good joints? You know, you don't
Who doesn't want to feel well?
I think that's exactly. And it's an all-rounder. And I think the fact that, because the interesting thing...
Do you take any other supplements? Do you take a multivitamin or anything like that?
I go through periods of taking them and not taking them.
Yeah, me too.
Like omega-3 and this and that. I go through periods of taking them. The one thing that I have done consistently with this is take the collagen.
Yeah.
Because it's a liquid and it's just easy to just shot. My sister takes it and she doesn't... It comes with a little cap that you can just pour it into and my sister just drinks it out the bottle. She said, I'll just drink it out the bottle.
Just a quick swig.
Just a swig and then, you know. And I thought, fine.
What's it taste like?
Seaweed? Berries.
Oh.
Yeah. They've got a natural berry flavour in
there. Okay, that's fine. I can cope with that.
So it actually...
I was hoping it wasn't going to taste of bovine or...
Oh, no. Because otherwise, otherwise I would have to dilute it with something. But it's just a shot and... Yeah. So, and actually, so far, I've spoken to quite a few people now that I've been taking it for over 3 months.
Oh, is that? That's what I was going to say. Wait, what? So, if I get some, how long do I give it?
Well, some people it works
straight away.
They have immediate reactions to it. You know, it's right, like, oh my God, you know, my skin feels better, my sleep. I mean, for me, I took it and I really had a good night's sleep, really had a good night's sleep that week. And I thought, wow, this is ridiculous. This, you know, because I just wasn't sleeping. I was waking up. I couldn't get to sleep. I have to listen to stuff to get to sleep. And I think all of these were just bad patterns that I was getting into.
So that you'd created the habit.
100%. And so taking the collagen.
Yeah,
I know. Well, and it, you know, it's definitely helped me. It's helped lots of people with their joints and different bits and pieces. Charlotte with her skin, you know, she said, I just feel so much more confident.
Well, I'd be interested in my son. Not that his skin's really bad, but again.
Yeah, I mean, her skin had flare-ups, so it was quite bad.
He's lazy. Right. He's a teenage lad.
Yeah.
He plays a lot of sport, obviously. And then what happens is he doesn't wash his skin as well as he, or straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
So he sits with a load of sweat on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, probably, if he put a bit of effort into cleansing and toning and looking after his skin, it'd be... But it's never a bad thing for a footballer to try and keep his joints healthy and things like that. So
And this is the thing. It is something that, you know, it's for men and women, you know, and I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's other things that they sell, but the collagen was the big thing for me. I just thought, yeah, I'm interested.
Well, I know
in
lots
that.
Of people who've taken collagen tablets and things in the past and had success. So, you know, tap you up for a sec. Brilliant. Well, that's been great. It's been lovely to speak to you, Debbie. It's absolutely brilliant. So if people want to get in touch with you, firstly about life coaching, how do they do that?
Well, I guess, I mean, most people just contact me via either Facebook or it my email.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to give the email?
Yes, it's debbiereed4@googlemail.com or at gmail.com, actually. Yeah. Gmail.
And the same for the collagen. How would they contact you for the collagen?
Yeah, again, I mean, I've got a link that I send out for my collagen. So.
Well, if you give that to us, we'll put that onto the podcast blurb so that everybody can kind of contact you there. But it's been absolutely fabulous to speak to you.
It's really interesting.
Really, really interesting. And some great tips for the ladies. One final thing, ladies. So if you don't already know, I am doing Strictly Northampton 2024. It's going to be in November. So I'm very excited. So I've started my dancing lessons and I'm learning a few dances. So and again, we are raising money for a fabulous charity. It's the Northamptonshire and Warwickshire Air Ambulance. It is a charity that is purely reliant on donations. So we'll put the link in there. Please, please, please. Feel free to sponsor me and watch me dance away, and I'll keep you updated as we go on this journey of dancing. So everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks.